I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We've got Ayobe here. Good to see you, Ayobe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
What are you talking to us about today on Ideas?
Well, as I said, it's now for something completely different. Because today we're not doing election stuff. We're talking about that very, very sad anniversary that we're marking today. You know, 9 years ago today, some schoolgirls were at Chibok Secondary School, government secondary school, to write their exams. And they stayed overnight at the school. And that night, they were invaded by terrorists from the Boko Haram group, the insurgents. And they were kidnapped. 276 of them were kidnapped. And the terrorists took their own sweet time driving through the Borno countryside. The parents were even following them and chasing after them to try and get them back, until people along the way said, ah, you better go back. And meanwhile, as they were going in this Jeje way, you know, the tragedy of this insurgency is that some of the people who had come to kidnap them had actually themselves previously been kidnapped from Chibok. And so the lorry that they were driving with these girls at the back, they were at the back, and they were telling them, ah, if you like yourself, we better get down out of this. So the girls were jumping out, and that was how 57 of them, in the course of the kidnapping, were able to escape over that night of the 14th to the 15th of April. But as it happened, the remaining 219 could not get away, and it's the 9th anniversary of that event. And I have with me here in the studio Habiba Balogun, who is a staunch member of the Bring Back Our Girls movement. And you know, there was a time when everybody was talking about the international community and so on. Well, the international community, their eye moves on. But Habiba, I think we're still here.
We are 9 years on after somebody's child, somebody's pekin, has been taken out of a government school. 9 years on. Imagine, if it was your sister, your friend, your classmate, yeah, your daughter. And we know they're still alive, because every year we get some back. We got 11 as of 11 back in 2022, and we've heard that since October 2022, some more have come back. We're now down from 276 in 2014. We're down to 92 now, according to the parents, who are still unaccounted for.
And that's actually the issue, because, you know, Ideas, we're about integrity, democracy, ethics, and accountability. And what we're talking about today with Habiba is accountability, the government's obligation to account for this girl. The government is accountable for their safety and security. Does the passage of time diminish the obligation to account?
Absolutely not. If you think about the social contract, so this is also about democracy, right?
Yeah. Like
democracy is, there's a social contract between the people, the governed, and the people who are governing us. And the social contract is, submit yourself to our authority, and in turn, we will make sure we look after you, we keep you secure, we provide social amenities, education, health. So there's a social contract. The parents had a social contract with the school. It was a government school. So the school actually is accountable.
Yes.
People forget that. The local government, Chibok has Chibok local government area. The local government is also accountable. Then that local government is situated within a state government.
Yes.
The state government under, you know, Kashim Shettima.
Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
That name sounds familiar
yes,
to us now.
Yes, he was governor. He was governor at the time.
Yes.
That state government is accountable, and the current state government, because accountability doesn't stop when your administration ends. It continues, right? It's between government, governed and government. It doesn't matter who is in government.
Well, I was going to say, because, you know, these girls were actually kidnapped in 2014, April 2014, and that was under the administration of President Goodluck Jonathan. But when he was sworn in on the 29th of May, 2015, the president recognized that thing that you're talking
about. That's President Muhammadu Buhari. Yes,
President Muhammadu Buhari. He recognized what you're talking about, which is that you inherit not just the office, you inherit the liabilities as well as the assets. And one of the liabilities is your duty in this case to account.
Yes. And he actually said it. I remember being very excited. Imagine your inaugural address as a president. You've just been elected. Your first date, May 29th, 2015. He said, we cannot be said to have defeated Boko Haram until we've got our Chibok girls back. That's not verbatim, but basically he said, return of the Chibok girls is what will signify that, yes, we have defeated Boko Haram.
But Habiba, what can we say about the integrity of that declaration by the president 9 years later?
All I can say is that he moved the headquarters of Nigerian Army to Borno State. Remember, immediately after he came in.
That was then.
And he negotiated the release of 21 girls and another 82 girls.
That was then.
Okay, then the armed forces have really pushed up until last year. In fact, even this year, they're still pushing. Yes. And now we're seeing girls being liberated. 16 girls that I'm aware of that have been liberated by the armed forces. But we still have 92 unaccounted for. We know some of them have passed on because their classmates told us we saw them. But a significant amount of those 92 girls are still alive. They're still waiting. I think it was early this year, someone else was released and said, oh, there are a group of 20 of them still together.
Yes, and I remember there was that telephone call from Wan Hawa, I think.
Yes, a call to her. She managed to get hold of her phone and called her dad and said she was there with another 7 classmates. So these girls are there, these women.
Yes.
9 years on, they are no longer school girls, they're now women. They're still there waiting for rescue. You know, they're helpless, they're voiceless. So we have to really stand for them and stand for their parents as well. The parents are not sitting idle, they're also speaking out. They have a press conference later today at 4:30, I believe, in Abuja Unity Fountain. But yeah, so the government remains accountable. We celebrate them, we thank them for what they've done so far, okay, because we can't stop criminals from engaging in criminal acts.
But we all even twist it.
But we know, but we expect government to respond according to the social contract they have with us. So that accountability is there. They have until May 29th to bring back our girls, and I'm sure that they can do it.
I hope that they can do it, and I hope that, but what concerns me, when I ask about the integrity of the declaration made by the president, what concerns me is that whilst at the beginning of the president's first term, there was enthusiasm, there was negotiation to bring back these girls, and they brought them back in batches of 21 and then the 80 something that were brought back. It's as if now it's an embarrassment that needs to be swept under the carpet. And are we still talking about that? Can't we move on? You know, what we complained about with the Jonathan administration, this idea that we should all, it's very sad, but we should just move on. And now we seem to be getting those kind of vibes. They don't say it openly, but it's that kind of vibe of, you know, it's very sad, but let's move on.
Yeah, so this is when you talk about the E in your idea, the ethics. So when we're pushing and pressuring the Jonathan government, the then opposition, the APC, were fully behind everything that we were doing.
Yes.
And we kept on saying this is apolitical, it has nothing to do with politics. So then,
Or partisan politics,
right? Yes, of course, it's political, but not partisan politics. So now the APC government is there. When you're in government, you're not there just for your supporters or just for the people who voted for you. You're also there for your opposition and for the people who are complaining about things. So we had access to them when they felt it was in their favor. Now that they feel it's showing
them
up.
A few months after.
When they feel it's showing them up, making them look bad, all of a sudden you become the enemy. That's something that has to stop, because that is not ethical in terms of democracy and democratic governance. It's not ethical that it's only the voices in your favor that you are ready to listen to and, you know, and invite for conversations and consultations.
Yes. And I just wonder, because you mentioned, Habiba, that there had been some rescues by the armed forces as they advance and drive the terrorists and insurgents back. And in fact, the Bring Back Our Girls movement put out a press statement today. And in it, they mentioned the situation with regards to some of the girls who had been brought back or who had been rescued. You know, when they hear that the army is advancing, some of them would now try to run towards where they know, because there's no point in running and then you find yourself, as the Dapchi girls found themselves, in the middle of nowhere, possibly in a French-speaking area, and they just carry you back to your capitals, as happened in the case of the Dapchi girls.
Yes.
But what do we say about the situation with regard to some of these girls who have been rescued, but they've been, because the situation was that they have been married off, quote and unquote, and the government seems to be treating them as families. What are the ethical considerations there?
For me, it's not purely ethics. It's also accountability as well. So these are girls, people who are kidnapped as girls. they have returned as women.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have returned married.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were liberated or captured mm-hmm. with a Boko Haram husband or something. Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, some of these so-called Boko Haram husbands were victims themselves. They were mm-hmm. their parents were killed in front of them. Mm-hmm. They were conscripted
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, found relationships. We don't know the situation.
Yeah.
However, there's still, because it occurred when the children were minors,
mm-hmm.
there's still an accountability to the parents. That's mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
And two, as women, they are now adults. They should have agency or control over their own decision making.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you are a lawyer, so you mm-hmm. can tell me, how long are you allowed to hold somebody in custody without a trial?
The Constitution yeah. says a reasonable time, and that you have to be brought before a court within a reasonable time. And a reasonable time is 24 hours, except over the weekend.
So some of these girls mm-hmm. Women have been held for 6 months to 1.5 years in custody. It could be protective custody, but if it's protective custody with their consent, the parents should also be involved.
Exactly.
And from all indications, the parents are not involved.
And I may say also, Habiba, that this issue of the time that you can be kept in custody, because I know that some of us Nigerians, we are very bloodthirsty when we hear about attempts to rehabilitate, de-radicalize, and so on. But the reality is that even these husbands, they're either going to be charged and tried and convicted, or they are going to undergo some kind of de-radicalization and rehabilitation. They cannot just be kept indefinitely, because that is a breach of our constitution. I mean, I know people would like to have them locked up and thrown away, because even the communities to which they are, some of them are being returned, are uneasy
yes.
and concerned. But this is a difficult. These are some of the difficult things that we have to face in Nigeria. It involves ethics, but it's also unethical and indeed unconstitutional to just keep people in detention indefinitely.
Yeah, and as you've just described a very complex situation.
Mm.
And going back to democracy, this is why it's important to elect people who have the intellectual capacity and the educational grounding and the maturity to consider these kind of complex situations and consult, know that they should consult widely, you know, and, you know, make decisions that are for the benefit of the greater good, while obeying our laws, our own laws and our own regulations,
including their communities. But Habiba, we're almost out of time. But before we go, now we are all praying that, you know, even tomorrow when we want to mark the ninth anniversary at Falomo under the bridge, as we normally do, we hope that there may be a beautiful surprise. But if it happens that we get to May 29th and it happens that we still have 96 or 92 girls unaccounted for, do we think that the incoming administration is going to be able to do anything different? Because, as you said, that the vice president-elect, Governor Shettima, or Senator Shettima, was in charge at the time when this kidnap took place. And many do even blame him because of his decision that the examinations should go ahead at the time when there were threats, not secret threats, but open threats from the insurgents, that they were going to come and carry these girls, they were going to come and kidnap girls because they did not believe in modern education for girls.
Yeah, I believe so. If this new administration, you know, comes in, and a new administration must come in, yes, I'm a Democrat to my core, we have greater levers to hold them by. And also, you know, having people who have their own experience, personal experience, from the area where the hotbed of the introduction of insurgency in Nigeria, which has spread in different ways and forms all over the country and metamorphosed into banditry.
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully that person has a better grasp of the problem that we are confronted with. And also, they can also see that the lack of response and accountability that in the immediate aftermath of that kidnapping, the signals that it sent to the criminal elements around the country, they have to learn from that to make sure that we don't have any new occurrences and that they really hammer down and clamp down on this insecurity that we're facing all over the country.
Thank you so much, Habiba. It's, as I say, it's a doleful anniversary, but we are still there. What are we demanding?
Bring back our girls now and alive.
All right. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us on the show as usual. We'll see Ayobe in 2 weeks.